Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has much to say to His people who love Him. I thank God when He clarifies things. Lord, I feel so good today. The Lord helped me to see some things I didn't see before. But nevertheless, I'm going to pick up where we left off yesterday, so to speak. Yesterday's broadcast was called Rebecca Choices. And Rebecca married Isaac. And she believed what the servant came and told. Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. And the servant said, "Let the one that you've chosen offer me water and also my camels." You know, and she gave him water, and also she it was her idea to also water the camels. Now, that took some effort. I don't know how much. I've never been around camels, but I know that they got this hump on their back and they drink a lot of water and they can walk across the desert with no problem. So a man like that, there's no telling how many camels he had, but nevertheless, she did this. But when it got down to it, he had already told her, if the damsel won't go with you, don't go back. So he had instructions. This is a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity for her. Now her father said she could go, so that was settled. Then the mother and the brother tried to get the guy to wait 10 days. They can't go beyond their father. Then it got down to the daughter, the damsel. And they asked her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." That's what God needs, people that will obey Him. There's a lot, see, when I say follow God, people say, "Well, I'm doing it. I got saved. I believed on Jesus. And I'm doing this for God. I'm doing that for God." Those things are versions of following God. V-E-R-S-I-O-N, versions of following God. But this is why I say that God will give you particular instruction. What God gives you to do, His plan is better. And I'm pointing this out again. I don't like to keep saying the same thing, but this is what God gave me, so I'll do it again. The reason people can't embrace that doctrine is really a standard that was in place in the beginning, and we should be highly developed in following God now. The church would be so much stronger. People would come to church and they would get what they need. Not to say that some church sometimes that don't happen. I've gotten what I need. I'm not accusing people of not following God. I'm just showing the difference when people follow God and when they don't. All right, I've seen my pastor change course. God had given him something to say. Then the Lord had just changed. That's following God. That's why miracles happen. He was about to preach one Sunday and the Lord said, "It's time. Show him the vision." And he told about how his trip to heaven. Perfect timing. Following God does what it needs to do. And learning to flow with Him is very important. These are the things that happens when you actually follow exactly what He say and precisely what He say. The pressure's off you. That's one. The pressure is off you. You're going to see greater results over time. Sometimes you might see a few immediate results. There are times I followed God and I didn't see anything. And the Lord, give me something else to do. And, you know, like a kid would do, you know, I was in the beginning stages. I wanted to see something. If God said, do this, something's big supposed to happen, but don't. So he give me a word for somebody else. Nothing. I don't see nothing. Anything. Nothing to go on. But this is what I did see and experience. The burden that was on me, and you know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It wasn't a heavy burden. But when God give you a word for somebody, you can feel it. When you give the word away, you're released. You feel you feel light again. Now, because you have the burden, there's a joy that goes with it. And then there's a greater joy when after you've obeyed. So when God give me a word for somebody, I can sense it, I feel it, I carry it, I give that word, and I don't see anything. But I do sense the burden is gone. I've done the will of God. I still got joy, I still got peace, I still got the Lord to talk to. No harm, no losses. And I found out that there is no poverty in obedience. So this went on for a while, a month or so. I started getting concerned. I said, Lord, you've been telling me, I'm not used to this. You've been giving me words for people, and I need you to confirm. I don't want to be out in left field somewhere doing things that I think you want me to do. Because I wasn't used to this yet. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, your confirmations will come as a horizon. So I received that word because I was desperate. God wasn't desperate, I was. I was very concerned because I vowed that I would obey him, but I didn't know that he was going to have me doing things I wasn't used to. So I understand how uncomfortable that can be, and some people keep running from it and running from it. But and those that run from it and run from it and change it around and do what they're comfortable with anyway, and it happens all the time. I've seen it too many times. And then people try to act like they're not doing that, but they are. Well, what happens is, not to embarrass people, that's not my motive. My motive is to show you something. As long as you're on the run and wrestling with God, you'll never know the fullness of what I'm talking about. You'll never know you'll have no comparison. When my horizon came, and I saw the wisdom in it, people's lives were touched. People started giving me good reports of what happened after that. My joy went up. Then I became bold, and I respected the work that God gave me instead of discounting it. And I said, oh, God is doing something I can't see. After I obey him, I'm beginning at that point to have a comparison. I can compare these days with the days before all this, before he had me to give people words. Some were good, some were warnings, some were personal. So I obeyed him, and I began to do what he said do, and I loved it. But I didn't just go around, I'm going to give somebody a word. I can't, you know, not of myself. I just yield to the Lord. If the Lord brings something up, then I'll do it. And I just remain sensitive. I said, is there anything, Lord? And, you know, at church, the pastor would call me and see if I had a word. And he would always give me one. So I always looked for one. It graduated. It got, you know, it went from being just personal words to the pastor asking me, did I have a word? He was following God in that protocol. He helped me to see something I didn't see before. He gave me a chance. Sometimes that's all people need. And everybody that follows God, that dare to follow God, they need encouragement. Because you're doing something you're not used to. People don't do things they're not used to, but remember something. God know you better than you know yourself. They used to write a song about that. He knows me better than I know myself. And he does. He taught me things about me. And he helped you see things you don't see. And not only in yourself, but in others. When God tells you what to do, he's using his knowledge. And he's using you to relay his knowledge, his wisdom, his principles, his counsel, to help other people grow. And you can learn from all of it. In other words, the more I trust God, the easier my life gets. And the better it gets. The more refined it is. When God gives me counsel, it gives me peace and joy. It equips me, settles my heart. I rest in him. That's what I'm trying. It helps me rest in him. That kind of rest in him is trust. And at the beginning of my ministry, the Lord showed me, he gave me some instructions to do, and I did it. And he showed me that I had to obey him beyond my ability to understand from the beginning. I can't see what I want to see. People say, well, you're doing this broadcast. How do you know people are listening? Let's see. Let me count. There are three ways I know. One, the revelation that God gives. Well, the first thing, all those years of training. Then, number two, the revelation that goes through me. He's talking to people. God don't give that kind of revelation away to the air. It wouldn't make sense, and God do everything in wisdom. Number three, he tells me himself. At random, he'll say that many people are receiving from the broadcast. And every broadcast I've been doing, every day, this year, the Lord has told me many people are listening. Many. And then he told me some things that I'm not going to share. And I don't do things without sanction. If God allow me, I'll tell you what he said. But I'm not going to do it because he didn't tell me I could. And the reason is, let me put it this way. God has a protocol. And you do things in the protocol and you say. And so everything that I do, I try to do exactly and precisely what he's given me to do. If Kenneth Hagin taught about that, when you have a check in your spirit, put on the brakes. Don't do that. God's helping you. He's warning you against something. But when that velvety feeling comes up, see, you can monitor the Holy Spirit. When you obey God, when you follow him, you agree to act on his orders. And that's very important. If you're a businessman, everybody's looking to you for your decision. What do I do? Everybody that you hire to do a job, they're looking at you. They let you know how much money we have to work with, the accountants do. Then the people tell you what kind of tools they need and what they need to make things go. And you got to have an answer almost immediately. Getting back to them is not always a good option. You have to know what to do. In other words, they're looking to you. But when you're following God, there's no pressure on you. There was no pressure on me to back up what God told me to do. I did it. He backed it up himself. I got it made. You know, when you consider the book of Acts, they were doing things that had never been done before. But a lot of things that came across all the way up to our generation from culture, it can be traced back to the beginning. And I'll point a few things out. And people don't think about it. You know, it said that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness because he believed God and he acted on it. When you act on what you believe, it's faith. Faith is an act. Faith is a verb. Patience is a waiting faith. It's kind of like hope. Hope is looking for the future. But patience gives you the ability to stay in faith until the results crop up. Remember, Jesus said, first the ear, the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. If you act on the word and go dig, prepare the ground and plant your corn, and then you water it, every day you're doing something because you have patience. If you ever stop believing that the corn is dead, you'll stop treating it. You'll stop watering it because you believe it's not going to work. But you water it, you weed it, you make sure everything's right. You know, whatever farmers do, there are things you do now and then there are things you wait and do later. Well, patience gives you the ability to stay in faith for the whole duration. And peace keeps you connected to that faith. So, when you believe God, then things can happen. That this is the protocol. Whatever God originates, you act on it. You believe it. You receive it. First, you receive it. Then you believe it. Then you act on it. All right. Until the and at the end of the duration or whatever needs to happen, you do your part and then God will do his part. And the whole project will be done. And this is why I'm saying this. People have been taught about faith. People have acted in faith. But guess what the apostles did? They also acted on trust. They went in the prayer room and received a protocol. They didn't just say, well, let's start over here. He said to the Jew first, so let's start on this street. They didn't do that. They went to the prayer room and they prayed and they taught the people that the multitude of people that had been there had plenty to do. You know, 3,000 people got saved the first day. Men, 3,000 men. Plus whatever their family, you know, their family. So they had to deal with that at the first stage. Then they had other miracles happen and not many other people got saved. You know, you read the book. But they didn't just hang around and come up with an idea like people do in the modern times. They went to the prayer room and they received a protocol and then they did what God said to do. So what has happened is people took some principles and learned it and taught faith, which is wonderful, and a lot of good happened. And the Lord is working with us. But when the prayer room is missing, when you're not relating to God in prayer and he's not giving you protocols, then when too many people do it, it becomes a cultural problem. When I studied how the Azusa Street Revival, somebody put it on YouTube, and they took old footage and they showed the house that it started from and all about how it worked. It was beautiful. I drank my coffee and watched it Saturday morning. I watched it more than once. And in fact, I watched it more than once Saturday morning. But what he was doing, he went before the Lord, and the Lord gave him what to do, and he did it, period. It started with prayer, and it became a worldwide revival. People came from all over the place and got blessed because somebody took time to pray. Ministry is not as important as your relationship with God. Your relationship is much more important. If you got relationship, you got ministry. But you don't have ministry without relationship. Ministry can't happen without relationship. Preachers that don't have a relationship with God, they go off on tangents. Or they stay in one stage. They don't grow like they can. They grow very slowly, if they grow at all. Because they're not being introduced. When the Lord started teaching me, I'm saying this because when the Lord started teaching me about following God, and I saw that He gave me assignments. He prepared me for the assignment. And He teach me about it. Then He'll send me out and I'll work. I'll do the work of the ministry. Then when I did everything He wanted me to do, He give me a period of rest. And I go about my, I didn't do anything until He told me what else to do. Then He started training me for something else. And I have a comparison. Just like when He started giving me personal words for people. And I didn't always like that. It was okay when it was a word I knew they loved, but when it was personal and a rebuke or something, I was kind of nervous about it. I had my apprehensions. But I didn't just go with assumptions. I said, Lord, teach me. Why did I have to do it that way? What? And then he would teach me things. And then people would repent. Then I used to feel nervous. Well, why me? Why do you want me to tell them? And then over time, I realized that when you live a life of love, when you love people, He told me this. He said, when you love people, they'll respect you. When you're holy, they'll trust you. When you're wise, you'll hold their attention. He started explaining things just like that. He said, you live my life. You know, He was showing me this. You live and they trust you. You have rapport with them. I didn't know this. How could I know something like that? I'm just trying to live and obey Christ. But when you do that, it puts you in another category in the eyes of those that you're already around every day. And so now it's wise for God to use you. And you know, people that love God, they're outstanding. They don't realize they're not trying to be outstanding, but they are. And the Lord doesn't waste anything. So whatever He tells you to do, it's not just important, it's very important. He's evaluated everything before He speak. And people don't have a comparison to know what's going to happen. If they stop believing in what they're doing, they'll stop altogether and do something else. God loves us. He works with us. So in the days of old, if God wanted them to do something, just like in yesterday's broadcast, He didn't tell Jacob to go to Egypt. The drought did. He didn't tell Joseph to go to Egypt. He was sold and the Ishmaelites took him there. Joseph was the main character because he trusted God. So actually Jacob's teaching, well, Israel's teaching, and the love of his mother, his parents helped him get to that point. But he represented what his father, because he never, not once, dishonored God. See, there's no poverty in obedience. He was obedient to God. And the book The book of Enoch, then the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher. It gives more detail about, and it was just off the charts. I took another Saturday reading the book of Jasher because it gave a lot more details than Genesis did. And I believe every word of it. But this is the thing. When you follow God, you're going to have a comparison that others don't have. So you, if you do follow God, and you're learning to be moved by the Holy Spirit, not by circumstances. See, God can, he can get something done. He can use circumstances if he has to. But in the day when we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can intelligently tell us to do something, we can easily obey him because we're intelligent. We don't need circumstances to follow God, or do we? Do we need a drought to make a decision when we can just obey God? I would love to see the church get to a stage where they just trust God with their life. They trust God. Even under death, they trust God. They'll obey. Some people say, I'll never deny God, but they won't even do what he say do. When God tried to get them to do something, they tell them why they shouldn't do it. Do you really believe that person will lay their life down for, hopefully, they might. People do interesting things. But I'm not going to deny Jesus. I don't already settle that. I ain't denying Jesus. But I learned that if you learn to trust God, it's enjoyable. You're going to have the comparison you need. And you won't need droughts and circumstances for you to go where God wants you to go. You won't have to lose your job and have to sell your house. Some people, that's the case. God have to get them to another city. He have to change it in order to get them there, because people are praying for him to send laborers, and the laborers are too weak to listen to him. God can change the circumstances and get them where he need to go. But why not? Why can't we just obey God? Why does it have to be a dog bath problem? You ever bathe a dog? That dog don't want no bath. Why have a dog bath war with God about everything? How come people just can't listen to him? If you do, those that have ears to hear, if you listen to God, you're not just going to like it, you're going to love it. I don't care what God have you doing. You're going to have the burden for it. There's joy with it. And when you do it, you're going to be relieved that you obey God, and your joy will increase. You probably won't know why God had you to do it, but all you have to do is ask. I asked the Lord so that I could cooperate more. How are you going to cooperate with somebody you don't trust? I ask questions so I can trust him, so I can obey him, so I can listen, so I can learn. God is a person. If you're going to ever learn him, you're going to have to learn to trust him and learn his ways. I don't know a better way to do this. You're just going to have to take him at his word. I come to a point that I look forward to. I come to a point that I say I will do all this in his heart. And the Lord has a protocol. I love the things of God and how he, the order, you know. When people are reluctant, people are going to be reluctant. God is not reluctant. You know, a few broadcasts ago, last week anyway, I shared something that Fuchsia Pickett wrote in The Next Move of God. And she talked about how God is going to connect reservoirs and pour out his spirit upon his people, just like the hydroelectric dam. And we're almost out of time. I'm going to take this last minute or so to share this. On page 13 of The Next Move of God by Fuchsia Pickett, page 13 says, construction in progress. She said, at the time of my vision, my father said to me, I am running the pipes now. And this time, when I pull that great power switch and release all the rivers of my living water, in their fullness, no demon, devil, man, or denomination will ever dam it up again. I will do a quick work. I'm going to bring the revival that will result in the ingathering of the great harvest of souls. Now, she wrote this book, which God gave her this vision in 1963. These things have happened, what I'm about to read. Number one, God also let me see what the ministry of the local church will be when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Now, this happened in the days of Kenneth Hagin, because he helped pioneer this. But many pioneered it, not just him. Number two, the local churches would use the power of the living word to take care of the needs of the people who gravitated to them. People started living by the word. When I started getting saved, when I got saved in the early 80s, when I entered into this, and that's what was happening. Number three, in this way, the vision for the ministry of each local church would develop according to the needs that presented themselves. That has happened. Whatever type of people, youth, elderly, poor, that gravitated to a local church would receive full pastoral care. I witnessed this. I'm a witness. I've seen these things happen. Number five, I understood that the believers of these churches would also go outside their four walls to take care of the wounded, hurt, lame, rejected, and poor. They would feed the hungry and train disciples. They would teach ministers, raising them up to take the church into her inheritance. I also saw the printed page rolling, producing Christian literature. I watched the church march into the heavenlies in the spirit and invade the evil powers of the media. I saw the grain fields of the world ready to be harvested, and my father said it was going to happen soon. I can testify I saw all these things happen. And it's still going on. So, as we follow God, these five things I just read are in play. But following God is key. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus.